This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, Romans 1 and 17, and then I'll go to Mark 11 and 22, and we'll go ahead and jump right in it. So Romans 1 and 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how, class? By faith. The just shall live by faith." And so we have been teaching on faith, and we certainly understand that faith is the most important subject that the believer needs to learn after getting saved. We understand that salvation is the most important subject, but once I'm saved, I am saved, and now I need to learn how to live this Christian life victorious, right? And so we talked a little bit over Thursday and Friday about faith and the difference between the God kind of faith as it relates to human faith. Human faith is deals just with the senses, but the God kind of faith is the type of faith that can move mountains in your life. It comes from the Word. It comes from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. And we talked a little bit about misplaced faith, that misplaced faith is having a little bit of faith in something else other than God. But we said that faith demands that God be our source and our only source. Okay, good class. All right, so Mark the 11th chapter in the 22nd verse, and we're going to pick it up from there. So we're in our series on have faith in God. The Greek actually says the God kind of faith. So have faith in God. And so Mark 11 and 22, we'll pick it up right there. "And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever," and you are whosoever in case you didn't know, "shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt where, class? In his heart." That's the key. You can't doubt in your heart. There can be a little bit of doubt in your head, but as long as you have faith in your heart, it'll come to pass. All right? So you can't doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. This is the law of confession. You got it? This is where we get Proverbs 18 and 21, where it teaches us death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. Matthew 12 and 37 says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. My words make me, or my words break me." And so here in verse 23, he says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so I've got to make sure that I'm saying what the word says, right? Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray." Notice he said when ye pray and not if ye pray, because he fully expects us to pray. Isn't it Jesus who said that men should always pray and not faint? So we should always pray. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them," and what's going to happen? "And ye shall have them." And so we have to have faith in God, or the God kind of faith, especially in the world we're living in with all the craziness and all the stuff going on. We have to understand that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the kingdom of God. You got it? And so God is our king. He has a kingdom. We are his children, and the Bible is our constitution. Can I get an amen, somebody? You got it? And we've got to learn how to quit, you know, getting in our emotions and being moved by all the sense realm and start walking this word out and start living by faith. See, when our faith works, we begin to function at another level. When our faith works, there's a boldness. When our faith works, there's a courage. When our faith works, we stand on the word of God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we feel. You got it. We just stand on the word. See, this is why Jesus told Peter, when Peter was going through his challenge, he says, "Peter, I have prayed for you that what? That your faith fail you not." Jesus could have said a lot of things to him, but I believe by the Holy Ghost, he told him, "The thing I'm praying for you is that your faith fail you not." And so you must be able to look at negative situations and not be moved. There is a discipline you must have when walking by faith. There's a discipline you must have when walking by faith. And let's just be honest. We've all been through tough seasons in our life. We've all been through challenging times. That is not, you know, words of doubt and unbelief. That's just a fact. You got it? The Bible teaches us in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I'm so glad it does not stop there. He makes a promise that he will deliver us out of not some of them, but out of all of them. And so what happens is I have to know and understand, you know, that tough times may show up, but as long as I have disciplined faith, the God kind of faith, I can get through any tough time. Because see, when you have these tough times, the enemy attempts to move you from a place of faith to a place of fear. He wants you to get in your emotions. He wants you to start talking doubt and talking unbelief, you know, and those kind of things. And because he's trying to back you up from the promises of God in your life. See, peace belongs to you. You understand? Healing belongs to you. You got it? And those are promises that we see in the Word of God that are available to us according to our faith. All right. And so never let the enemy, because what the enemy will do is, anytime there's tough times going on and you start confessing the Word of God and you start confessing the promises of God, he starts talking too. You got it? And he tries to talk louder than you, but you have, we have to cast down the thought and walk by faith. Cast down it, because he'll say, you're not going to make it. You got it? It could be anything. You know, you're going for a job. You know, you're not qualified enough. You don't look good enough. Just all kind of crazy things that the devil will say, and you got to cast those things down. You could be in a challenging time, and you're getting through the challenging time, but it's just challenging, right? And he'll try to talk you out of doing what you're already doing. He'll make you think that you're not, watch this, already getting through it. And so never let the enemy talk you out of what you are already doing. We walk by and not by. All right, Matthew the 14th chapter and the 28th verse. Y'all are a good class. I think I'm gonna give y'all some good time on the clock today. All right, Matthew the 14th chapter and the 28th verse. I'm gonna say, yeah, he say that, but when pastor gets to rolling, he uses all his minutes. All right, and Peter answered him and said, okay, so let's give you the backdrop, of course. The disciples are on a boat. They're going to the other side. Storm rolls in. The winds are contrary. You know, the boat's just, it's just crazy out there on the sea. And then next thing you know, Jesus just come walking up on the water. And I love Jesus because he just did stuff like that. You know, he just came walking up on the water. And the disciples looked, and Peter, he saw, and he's like, that's Jesus. So let's pick it up at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, well, you asked the right one. Come on. And when, watch this. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, class, what did he do? He walked on the water. So would everyone under the sound of my voice, whether you're in here or on live, agree that the Word of God teaches us that Peter walked on the water just like Jesus? Right? Okay. All right. All right. And to go. So he walked on the water to go to Jesus. All right. So he's walking on the water. He gets out of the boat and Peter is heading to Jesus. Now let's keep reading. But when he saw the wind boisterous, when he saw that the paycheck was a little bit less than he thought it was going to be, when he saw that they didn't get a deal for the stimulus check and I might not get my $1,200. See, we've got to move from sense realm to revelation knowledge that, watch this, even if the check is a little short and even if the stimulus does never show up, he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, and he's always going to come through for me. He's going to meet all my needs, not according to my riches, because I don't have those kind of riches, but he's got all the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? And so, and don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with stimulus. I'm not knocking that. But I'm saying if it doesn't show up, you can't put your faith in a stimulus check. You got to put your faith in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that has always provided for you. How many in the room said that God has been a good God and he's opened doors and made ways and provided, right? You got it? So when you get in a tough time, that's not the time to start backing up. Jesus has a resume that he's always going to show up for you. So if he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, same God back then. You got it? So you have to have faith in the faithfulness of God. Let me tell you why. Because God is faithful. You got it. He is the only someone I know that has always been all the way faithful, all the way consistent, all the way there all the time. And that's why we love him. And that's why we serve him. Can I get a big amen? All right. And so let's keep working with verse 30. Y'all getting blessed? But when he saw the wind boisterous, the Bible said he was afraid. And anytime you step out to do something God has called you to do, the spirit of fear will always try to show up. And beginning to sink, watch this, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. All right, so you've got to understand, the disciples are in the boat. The wind and the seas are contrary. Jesus is over there somewhere, you got it? And they're like, that looked like the Son of God. Now that's a whole nother lesson right there, you understand? I could work on that looks like the Son of God, all right? But anyways, you know, and so Jesus said, Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come on. He gets out of the boat, y'all, and starts walking on the water. He's doing it to the degree the scripture shows us that he got right up to Jesus. How can you say that? Because he began to sing, said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said, Jesus just reached out and grabbed him. So it shows us that he was already doing it. Does that make sense? All right. There's so many ways to go. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. He said, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, what happened? The wind ceased. All right. So let's rehearse this a little bit. The Bible says that teaches us that Peter's faith began to diminish gradually. The Bible says beginning to sink. The more he focused on his circumstances, the more he lost focus on Christ. All right. It was gradual. And that's what the enemy wants to do with us. He wants to gradually talk you out of what God has already strengthened you to do. He wants to gradually talk you out, you know, of coming to church because, you know, it's the pandemic and you don't need to go. And this week is the pandemic and the next week is something else. And the next week is something else. And it's just a trick of the enemy to try to back you up, to move you away from a position of God, because he knows what happens when you get in these four walls and this corporate anointing happens. Does that make sense? And so you got to understand, Peter was already doing, he was already walking on the water. And you can never allow the enemy to talk you out of doing what you already been doing. I'm not saying sometimes it's not tough. I'm not saying sometimes there's not challenging times, but you're doing it. You're making it. You're waking up, you're making it happen. You're going to bed and then you're waking up, you're making it happen and you're going to bed. You understand? And so you've got to understand everything is a process. Think, unless it's a miracle, and we fully believe in miracles because we just saw some a few nights ago, but unless it's a miracle, things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. That is why the writer says, in patience possess ye your soul. And so, now y'all know me. I love the Bible. And when I read it, I don't just read the words. I get right in the story with everybody else, right? So, you know, like in this particular story, I'm not Peter and I'm not Jesus. I'm a disciple on the boat because I'm not ready to get out the boat yet. I want to see what Peter's going to do. You got it? But if you would understand, when you really understand the scripture, Peter gets out of the boat. He is walking on the water. He is doing what Jesus said he could do. Is that right? Yeah. Does the Bible say that you can do all things through Christ which strengthen you? And so he is now doing it to the degree that he stays in faith long enough to get right up to Jesus. Watch this. And then beginning to sink, Jesus grabs him. You got to get this. And he pulls him back up on the water. The wind is still contrary. Things are still going like that. They stop and have a conversation. Read the Bible. Because Jesus says to Peter, why did you doubt? I can just imagine saying, Peter, Lord, I'm sorry. I just, that wind looked a little bad. And Jesus said, okay, no problem. And then the Bible says they had to walk back to the boat, get in the boat. And then, verse 32 says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Do you notice, watch this now, the wind didn't stop right away. And the trouble and the contrary wind didn't stop right away. What does that show me? That even though I might be going through a challenging time, even though the challenging time isn't over, I'm still able to go through it with the strength, with the power, with the grace, and with the anointing of God. Does that make sense? This young man is teaching up in here. Yes, he is. And so you've got to understand that you are not God, but you are like God, because you have been made in his image and you've been made in his likeness. You have been given dominion and authority. That is why when, you know, in the beginning it said God said and there was, and God said and there was. But when he made man, which was a speaking spirit, he told Adam, now whatever you call it is going to be so. And that is why the writer teaches us that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. What he is saying is whatever is, watch this, is unlawful in heaven is what you are to be able to declare unlawful in the earth. And whatever is lawful in heaven is whatever you're able to declare lawful in the earth. So listen, sickness is unlawful in heaven, so therefore we can declare it to be unlawful in the earth. You got it? A lack is unlawful in heaven, so therefore we can declare it to be unlawful in the earth. All right? Peace is lawful in heaven, so we can declare it to be lawful in the earth. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so we've got to make sure that we are not walking by sense knowledge or human knowledge that is based on the senses, but we're walking out this revelation knowledge that comes from the word of God. So regardless of what it looks like, I believe God. Regardless of what my body feels, I believe that he bore my sickness and infirmity on a tree, that Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, I'm already healed. You got it? I'm not some wacky, tacky Christian. I'm reading the word of God, and I'm releasing faith for the word of God, and now it's available to me because I'm receiving it by faith. Does that make sense? All right. And so, you know, whenever you step out on faith, it's never based on your ability, but it's based on God's ability. So, you know, we're not able, but it's okay. He is. All right. Ephesians 3:20. Go with me there. Y'all getting blessed? Okay. This is good. Good class today. Good class. Good class online. Good class. Y'all don't think I can see you. I see you. Are you watching me? Are you paying attention to Pastor? Or somebody texting you? Don't miss this good word. All right. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above some. Oh, yep, that's right. Shoot me down when I ain't teaching right. So let's start over. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, based on if the stimulus check's coming. It didn't say that, right? It says above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So this verse teaches us that God has the ability to go beyond the scope of my present thinking. So God says, whatever, you know, whatever you're believing for or whatever you're thinking, I can do that. But just so you know, I can do better than that. And then my faith increases and I start believing bigger. He says, whatever you're believing for, I can do that. But just so you know, I can do better than that, because I'm able to do exceeding abundantly, far above all that you can ask or think. And so you cannot allow your inability to figure out how it's going to work cancel your faith. That's a good play. For y'all online, y'all should just type that. Don't let your inability to figure it out cancel your faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Okay, I'm coming this way. I'm coming at you online. You have to have faith in God. That no matter what it looks like, that no matter what it feels like, that no matter what others are saying, you have to have faith in God. You have to take it. Now, I'm saying this in love, but you have to take your emotions, put them in your back pocket and say, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. I'm going to walk out this word and I'm going to see God do some things in my life. Give the Lord a big hand praise. I'm equal opportunity. Let me come over here to this side. These young teenagers are on the camera. We got all these new cameras now. So we needed to, you know, get some new people to help us. You got it? And we got all kind of teenagers working, you know, the camera. And they're doing a great job. Can y'all give them a big hand? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor ought to just bless y'all. Is it just two teenagers in here today? Okay, so I got a $100 bill. So do y'all want me to just cut it in half and give y'all each? Is that what y'all want me to do? Don't cut it in half? No, don't do that. Okay, so y'all may just give it to you and y'all gonna split it yourselves? Is that the best thing to do? Okay, all right, come on, Ben. All right, so we was a blessing to the cameramen today. I got adult cameramen in the back like, hey. But I blessed your son. I blessed your seed. Isn't that what the Bible says? He said, I will bless your seed. You don't even know it, but you back there working on the camera. You're living right. You're doing the right things. And God said, not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to bless your children and your children's children. My God, today. See, faith overrides sense realm. You got to get this. Faith overrides the sense realm. So watch this. So we see when there's nothing to see. Oh my God, today. And we hear when there's nothing to hear. We don't have a flawed criteria based on the senses. We walk by faith and not by sight. Does that make sense? All right. So let me give you a few things that it takes to see the manifestation of your faith. All right. I'm going to give them all to you. I'm going to give you 1, 2, and 3. And then I'm going to read this scripture. Y'all ready to do it? All right. So there's 3 things I want to give you it takes to see the manifestation of your faith. Now, please understand, this is after the systematic principles I've taught you, that you have to find the promise in the word of God. You have to come boldly before the throne of grace and ask God for the promise in faith. Then you have to believe that you receive the moment you pray. That's the systematic part. So I'm saying after you've done all that, this is what you need right here. Let's put number 1 up on the screen. Number 1, everybody say courage. Number 2, everybody say accountability. And then number 3, everybody say responsibility. All right, so let's walk this through. Joshua 1:6. In this one scripture, we're going to see courage, accountability, responsibility. Moses is dead, and now Joshua, it's time for him to come on the scene. And so watch what the Spirit of God is beginning to tell Joshua. Verse 6, be strong and of what? Good courage. So we see right there, you've got to have courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. So there is a level of courage that I have, watch this now, that comes from God. It is not a natural courage, but when I start walking by faith and trusting this word, you understand, there is a boldness, a courage that comes on me. Now let's read verse 7. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Watch what he says. He says, turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You see, he's giving him instructions now. And so this is accountability. These are things that he has to do. Now watch what verse 8 says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Here's some more accountability. And this is really moving into responsibility. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. In other words, you have some things you have to do that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. In other words, you have a responsibility to do what the word teaches you to do. He says, if you do this, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And some people don't understand that, because they say, well, why is God telling them, if you do this, you're going to make your way prosperous, you're going to have good success? It wouldn't God be the person? No, God has already done everything he has to do. He has given us his word. He has sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us. You got it? He's given us his Holy Spirit. So now what we have to do is we have to walk this word out. And as we walk this word out, watch this, we will see God prosper our lives in every area of our life. It's the will of God for you to have an incredible marriage. Isn't that right? Lady LaConte, how long we've been married? This December will make how many years? 22 years? Okay. You know, Pastor, why are you asking? You trying to trip her up? No, I just want to make sure I was right. Praise the Lord. You know, but we have been married 22 years. We have an incredible marriage. You got it? But that's because of God's grace. You got it? And his mercy in our lives, right? But it's the will of God for everybody to have a good marriage. You got it. It's the will of God for your children to be sharp and bright and witty and intelligent and anointed and obedient. And great is the peace of your children, for they are taught of the Lord. There's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in their lives. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, so we always are praying for our children and, you know, catching, you know, my son, you know, he's taller than me now, you know, so, you know, it's, you know, I'm told I'm still daddy. You understand what I'm saying? I still know how to lay them hands. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, but we're always praying over them and those kind of things. Why? Because we find in the word of God that those are promises that are available to us. All right? Yes, I made a good play. I got 1 minute and 52 seconds left. I might give you 5 seconds on the clock. All right. Another thing, this is last thing that it takes is walking in love. All right, you got to walk in love. Galatians 5:6-4 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith, which, watch this, works through love, or working through love. All right, this is my last scripture, 1 John 3:18-23, and let's go home, court. All right, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 20 says, for if our heart condemns us, thank God, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And this is why, you know, before the faith revival, you know, Pastor was teaching on some areas and we covered the area of sin. And people don't like to talk about sin, but we have to talk about sin because sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers that you shouldn't pray. You got it. And so to the degree that we, and the Bible says, be ye holy for I am holy. And when you make a decision that I want to do it God's way, you don't have to do it on your own. He empowers you to do it. Does that make sense? A lot of times when people aren't doing the right things, they have such a hard time trying to do the right thing because they think that they have to do it on their own, and you don't. Because not only does he give you his word, but he backs it up with his power to perform it. All right. And then verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. When I do it God's way, I get God results. And this is his commandment. You got to listen to this, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. I've got to believe on Jesus and I've got to love my neighbor. I've got to believe on Jesus. I got to love my neighbor. People say, you just got to do two things. No, these two things, what you got to do, you got to believe on Jesus and you got to love your neighbor. If you do that, you are well on your way to walking by faith and possessing all of the promises of God. And I think that's enough for today. Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise all over the building.